I am a second grade teacher, or was before I became a mom, and I'm just going to picture you all as second graders, because that's going to make me feel a little bit more comfortable this morning. And as a second grade teacher, I'm going to read you a little story, because that's what we do. This is called God Gave Us Heaven. It's a little polar bear. He says, Papa, what's in heaven? Why, heaven is God's home and the most amazing place we'll ever go see. God has great plans for you, little cub. For me? For you, both here and later, when we get to heaven. God loves us and never wants to be far from us. He's made us a way for him to be with him forever in heaven. When do we get to see heaven, Papa? So, cliffhanger. I asked Stephanie, I said, what were you going to talk on? And she said, I was going to speak a little bit about our I Am statements and then refer to another I Am statement from Revelation 1. And so just a quick recap. We have I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. And if you want to open or just listen, in Revelation 1:8, he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And those are the beginning and last letters of the Greek alphabet. So he is saying, I am the beginning and the end. As a child growing up in church, there was an old song that was saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one true God, the Prince of Peace, the great I am. And I just thought that kind of connected all our different great I am statements. So in Revelation 1:4, God gives us a little glimpse of his son Jesus when he says who this letter is from. And it starts in verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And that's where Stephanie had wanted to kind of camp out, is the Almighty. Almighty, when I looked it up just on your Webster's Dictionary, one of the definitions said having complete power. And of course, he does, doesn't he? He has complete power. And then, of course, focusing in on the fact that he was, he is, and he is to come. Being a teacher, of course, I teach verb tenses. And so you've got your past, your present, and your future. There is not a moment of your life that has gone by that he has not been there for a part of it. Even in the ones that are the ugliest, even in the ones that are the most tragic, even the ones that are the most painful, he was there in it. And I love verses 13 through 16. If you remember, the last time Stephanie asked me to share was right after I'd gotten back from my trip with my parents, and we had seen the sights of the New Hampshire mountains and the cities of Boston and all the history that's there. And then, of course, my favorite place, the crashing waves of Maine and the bluffs and the power of God in the ocean. And God takes a moment, or the description John gives of what he sees, really. He takes time to bring nature into it, so he's speaking right to me. Verses 13 through, I believe it's 16. And in the midst of the lampstands stood one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and his feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. And in his right hand he held seven stars, and from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. And I don't know about you, I do prefer a sunny day over the cloudy. But of course, the sunrise, the sunset, there's so much beauty in it, and there's so much majesty in it. And that was created by our Almighty. And that's where we can see him. And even John, the best description he can give of what he's seeing as the Lord reveals himself to him is through nature elements. Because that's what John had that was relatable to describe the awestruck feeling. In fact, the next verse says John fell down. And John fell down truly out of amazement, truly out of awe. He was just blown away by what he was seeing. And we think about Moses. I remember Stephanie talking to us about how Moses, when he's held in the cliff of the rock, God says, I'm going to show you myself, but after I hide you. Because God's glory is so great and so above anything that we can imagine and so unfathomable that Moses really could not have looked on it, or he probably would have been struck down dead. And yet there will come a point in each of our lives that have put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that we will be able to behold that glory and we will be able to behold it without falling down, though that may be our immediate humble response, because he is the God of gods and the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And so with this knowledge in mind, I ask that as each of you walk out of the study and walk out with each of those I am events, each of those I am statements that tells us who God is to us. He's a provider. He's a protector. He's a healer. He loves us unconditionally. That we have an eternal perspective. And so I went to two people, one who I've never met that has touched my life, and one who is one of the best people in my life, for how they took on what it looks like to have an eternal perspective. Some of you may know who Stephen Curtis Chapman is. He's a popular contemporary artist. I have grown up listening to his music. And years ago, his daughter died in a car accident. His older son was actually driving the car, pulling into the driveway, and the little girl ran at the car. And there, he and his wife's testimony is phenomenal. But it's not without dark days. And he relates in his book, Between Heaven and the Real World, he brings up the verse, Psalm 42:5. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall praise him, my salvation and my God. And Stephen said in his book that it was just this. God was like, look at me. Let go of the pain and the sorrow. Look at me. I am your eternal perspective. You are in a temporary place, and eventually you will be eternally home with me. And, of course, then the eternal perspective is with his little girl, Maria, who had died. And because this world is temporary, and the one with the Lord is eternal. And I also relate to my sweet friend, Kara. And I'm going to quickly turn to the verse. She shared a lot on Facebook as they went through each piece of Grant's journey. And I remember when she called and she told me that they were telling her it could be weeks, it could be months, but that they had no more answers for Grant. And she posted on Facebook about 48 hours later after she told me, and this is the verse she shared. It is in Romans 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And I thought, oh my word, she's so strong. She's amazing, but she went to the word of the Lord to find her comfort. She didn't find it in her friends. She didn't find it in her family. She found it in the Lord, because the Lord said, this suffering, this pain, it's temporary to the glory that will be when you're with me. And even sooner, Grant got to be with him. And so she looks to the day that she and Grant will be together again. And so just one more word on the temporary, and that is that I have a friend who, amazing Bible teacher, his name is Nate Bransom, and he wrote this about the fact that how many times do we say, I'm just too busy. I don't have time for that. I can't take time for that. I had to skip my quiet time today because I just didn't have time for that. And he said, the one who desires to dwell in God's presence must be willing to withdraw from the pace, the plans, the persons, and the pandemonium of this world in order to wait on his whisper. A dangerous location being in that moment, because it is the place in which God replaces our earthly thoughts with his eternal perspective. And he even took the time at the end of John to tell John, oh, by the way, this is how you're going to die. Still follow me. You know, in that moment, John could be like, or I'm sorry, Peter, no, thank you. I'm not going to do that. But John and Peter both made that choice to continue to follow him. Peter's death was excruciating and horrible. John died of old age. He still suffered persecution. He was still exiled, but he died of old age. And yet both men followed God with an eternal perspective. What I do for the glory of the Lord. And so I'm going to finish, because I know you're all dying to know what happens to the little polar bear. When do we get to see heaven, Papa? When our life here is over. When we die? Yes, little cub, when we die. Can we take our stuff to heaven? No, we don't need our stuff there, little cub. He paused and lifted her backpack from her shoulders. Feel how heavy that is? Doesn't it feel good to have it off of you? Little cub nodded. Sometimes we think we need our stuff, but it is just more weight for us to carry. Our best stuff doesn't weigh anything at all. Stuff like love, family, friends, and faith. That's where our real blessings are. What will God look like, Papa? You know what Mama looks like? How she looks like love to us? God will be like that, except 100 times better. Exactly. How do we get there, Papa? To heaven, I mean. Let's see. Say this side of the canyon is life here on earth. And that side over there, where we find the path home, that's heaven. God knew that our bad choices might keep us from him forever. Might even wash us away. He didn't want that. He loves us too much. So he sent his very own son, Jesus, to be our bridge. All we have to do is walk across and head toward our forever home. Little cub thought on that. I like Jesus, she said. So do I, little cub. So do I. Will I have a room in heaven? Oh, yes, there will be many rooms in heaven. Will it be as cozy as mine? The coziest ever, little cub. And John 14:1 tells us that I go to prepare a place for you, that when you come, I will bring you unto myself, and he will gather us in the clouds. I love that picture of those arms coming out. Dawn Hall is going to close us with a song. And before she does, I want to read this verse because he said, what does God look like? He said, look like Mama. I don't know how often I look like love, but he said he looked like Mama and how she looks like love. And in 1 John 3:16, now I did say 1 John 3:16. I think it's interesting that they are placed similarly as John 3:16. But this is 1 John. This is how we know what love is, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us.